At this time, we'd like to go to our scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And if you don't have a Bible, if your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, share a Bible with your neighbor, or there might be some Bibles in some of the pews. And when you have turned to that passage, if you can all please stand and rise. Again, that is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Please follow along as I read. Again, Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our message today will be given by Pastor Wilson Chang, and the title of his message is "The Invitation of the Kingdom, the Parable of the Wedding Banquet."
I think many of us, either in your company or in different occasions, that you went through certain self-assessment test inventories, that kind of tools. I like to use those tools in my counseling, in some of my premarital counseling, as well as some co-workers' training. Because the purpose of using self-assessment tests and tools is not just to know about ourselves, but it's with that knowledge that we would like to know in what area and to what direction that I as a person can grow. And that is the very important point of using self-assessment test. I don't know whether you took one of those before, whether it's about your communication style, your personality, your spiritual gift, and so forth. But the very purpose of taking those tests is to know where I am, and therefore I can know to what direction and in what areas I can grow. This morning, I would like to share with you the parable that we just read. And this is a parable that has the taste of a little bit of the self-assessment in it. So let's bow our head and pray together. Dear Father, this morning we gather together with a joyful heart, because we know the tremendous, unimaginable power at work in Jesus' life that brought him from the grave and resurrect just before us. That power, that very power, you said, is also available to all of us. So this morning, it is my prayer that the resurrection power in our Lord Jesus Christ will also as well at work in our lives. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, so that we can receive your word and allow you to have the freedom to walk in our lives. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The parable of the wedding banquet. First, it is given by a king. According to the verses that we just read, that is a king that was given out the invitation of his son's wedding banquet. Now, invitation from a king in ancient time is not a small thing. A king's son's wedding probably will celebrate more than just a couple of days, maybe months of celebration in his kingdom. And those who receive the invitation must feel very, very honored, because it is only extend to a few. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the evening, I was watching a program in PBS. The program is about the Queen of England. And in that particular section of that program, it was about her servants preparing a national dinner for the Queen, who received foreign dignitaries who visit England. And the TV crew went into details to look at the kitchen, to look at those who set up the dining tables. And I was watching that program. I look at that, you know, when they lay out that long dining table and all the chairs that's set against the table, before the table, and then a certain servant, they will pull a line, sort of like a plumb line, but it's horizontal, from one end of the table to the other, and then a couple of servants will walk around that line and make sure all these chairs will line up according to that line. Not an inch before that, not an inch after that, but just right at that line. And this is the detail and the attentiveness that they pay toward preparing a national dinner. Now here Jesus used this parable to say that a certain king sent out invitation because his son's wedding and set a wedding banquet. It is an honorable invitation. And I believe no one would take it lightheartedly. But yet, the peculiar part, or maybe the absurdity of the parable, is when the invitation was sent out, then those who received the invitation refused to come. Verse 3, he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle has been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now these details, we ought not to push it too far, because it's a parable. Parable is something that is related to our daily experience, but it is a parable. It is a story to stress a most important point in that story. So in this parable, you know, we can pick on the time, you know, how could the king send out his army, kill those people, burn the city, and come back and still have the banquet? Then the banquet has been waiting for a long, long time. That's not the point. But the point is here. The absurdity is such an honorable invitation, people refuse. And the reason for them to refuse, when we look at it, are ridiculous. I have to tend to my field. I have other things to do. And even some, to that extent, mistreated their servant, as a messenger coming from the king, in that kind of occasion, actually representing the king himself. And that is why the king was so enraged, because they mistreated his servant as if they mistreated the king. But those reasons that they gave to refuse to go to the banquet seems to be very ridiculous. But actually, those reasons, Jesus said it in other places. I read you a couple of verses. For example, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just brought five yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, and I can't come. Now, all these excuses, according to the Jewish law, they are legitimate. But Jesus was trying to stress upon here that although a lot of things in our life, they have legitimate reason for us to pay attention and to concern about, but what is the most important thing? When we tend to those legitimate needs in our lives, but yet we forfeit the most important invitation, then we totally miss out the biggest thing in our life. The invitation was given out. But it demands a response. It demands a response from those who are invited. Because when we refuse, remember back in the ancient time when Jesus said that in the cultural context, refusing a king's invitation is almost equal to rebellion. While when you accept it, means you communicate loyalty to the king. So it is itself been interpreted as a rebellious act. It is in itself been interpreted as a rebellious act. God gave us a lot of things in our life that we can enjoy. But don't forget, He is the one who give us all the gifts that we enjoy. He is far more valuable and important than the gifts that He gives us. A couple of weeks ago, I read a book by John Piper called The Hunger for God. And I came across this quotation that I quote him. And I think it is very, very meaningful and is very important for us to remind ourselves. In which John Piper said, "The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dull our appetites for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It is not the X-rated video, but the primetime dribble of triviality that we drink in every night. For all the ill that Satan can do, when God describes what keeps us from the banquet table of His love, it is a piece of land, a yoke of an oxen, and a wife," which, coming from the scripture I just read from Luke, those secondary things, if we allow them to crowd us, to blur our vision, and to divert our priority, then we are guilty the same as refusing the invitation. The invitation demands a response. And when those who refuse that, in that parable, Jesus, in that context, if we go back to another one chapter before 21, He was talking about the religious leader of the Jewish people. They consider themselves as quote-unquote insider. They're inside of God's kingdom, but yet they did not produce any fruit. They did not do God's will. Now today, are we insiders? You and I, are we insider of the kingdom? But yet we miss out. What does it mean by insider? I define insider very simply. If to you, coming to church is a ritual, you do it once in a while, or maybe in a few occasions in a year, and your life goes on as if there's no God, and when you conduct your life, the concern in your life is all these other things, but none of them, or very few of them, is about God, about God's kingdom, about His good news, then maybe we fall into the danger of we see ourselves as quote-unquote insider, but we miss out the real thing. And if we examine our life and we find out those traits, that we continue to live a status quo lifestyle, we continue to be uninterested in spiritual growth, then maybe we're in a danger of this parable that Jesus warned us against. Because Jesus made it very clearly that when they refuse, when the Jewish religious leadership refuse the invitation extends to other people, extends to another nation, another kind of people that are willing to produce fruit for the kingdom's sake. It is for all. The invitation now, it is for all, not just a selected few. And the banquet is ready. Verses 8 to 10. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invite did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. So God wanted to extend his invitation to all, including all people. And particularly he asked his servant to go out on the street corner to grab everybody. Whoever wanted to come, come. And the parable said it extends to both good and bad. Why is it good and bad? Because it is like, go back to our first parable about the weed and the weeds. That in God's kingdom, there's always those who are genuine and always those who are fake. Implying that there will be one time, there will be judgment. There will be separation between the good and the bad. There will be a judgment. There will be a separation. It is an extension. It is an invitation extended to all people. And it is an invitation that has the implication there will be a judgment time. There will be a judgment time. It is consistent with Jesus' ministry. You take the good news, not just to those Israel that they are in the leadership. But also he took the good news to people, those who are sick, the sinners, those they people despise. Because only when those who recognize their personal helplessness would cast aside their self-reliance and self-worthiness to accept the grace of God. There's a danger in our life. If we live in lifestyle that is self-reliant, that is, we think that we're worth something. And oftentimes, that kind of attitude would prevent us from accepting God's grace. To accept God's grace, we have to know who we are in humility. To humble ourselves in order to receive the grace. Because grace, by definition, is something we do not deserve, and yet we've been given. The same danger that if we see ourselves as insider, we'll miss out the most important thing. But the banquet is ready. It is not our effort, it is not our merit, it's God's preparation. Have you ever been in a banquet that when you go there, then they'll give you an apron? Please go to the kitchen and cook. No, no such thing. Banquet is all ready. You just sit there and enjoy. So in other words, being invited to a banquet is to partake the grace of the Lord that He prepared for all of us, that we did not deserve. We do not deserve, and we will not deserve for that. We deserve that. But yet, it has been given to us. It is for all. And it is ready. It is ready because Jesus risen from the dead. This morning is the Easter morning. For us to get together here, even for some of us maybe rise up a little bit earlier this morning to join the sunrise service. The reason for us to worship Him is because He is a living God. He's not someone who died in history. Because He lives again, He can solve our problem. I brought a book with me. This book There's an old book called, maybe at the back you can see that. The title is called, Who Moved the Stone? Who Moved the Stone? The stone implying that the stone that blocked the entrance of the grave, the Jewish grave, which is on top of the ground and is actually is a cave. Who Moved the Stone? This is a classic book. It was published in the 1930s by a British scholar who was a physician as well as a lawyer. His name is Frank Morrison. Frank Morrison grew up in church, and he attended church ever since he was a little kid, and all his Sunday school. Now, when he grew up and educated, and when he thought back about all his Sunday school, and he thought, there's one thing that the Sunday school taught me was ridiculous, which is telling me that someone died in history and come to life again, Jesus' resurrection. Now, remember, his training was a physician. He said, no such thing. Modern science told me no one ever died would come to life again. So he thought, those poor Christians, they have been lied on this. They have been deceived by this lie for so many years. So I have to set forth and do a research and write a book to correct that, to enlighten them. So that is the project that he did. He wrote his book. And after years of research, when he finished the book, he came back and rewrite the introduction chapter. Now, the introduction chapter entitled this, The Book That Refused to be Written. The Book That Refused to be Written. Because in that process, he'd gone through all the historical evidence, and he'd gone through all the logical arguments, and he only come to one conclusion, that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. In his mind, there's no doubt about that. So he set out to do a little project to correct this myth in Christianity. But he ended up, he committed his life to the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. And he come back and rewrite the introduction chapter, The Book That Refused to be Written. This is an older version. Later version, similar work. Maybe you can find Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. But basically, it's going through the similar argument. And this is a groundbreaking book. Because every year, you will see that either in Christmas or in Easter time, the secular magazines, media, they will always have a quest for Jesus. Question the legitimacy, the historicity of Jesus, whether this is a myth or whether that is a historical fact. This world is very curious about that, and they are ready to destroy all these beliefs to bring us an otherwise argument. But Frank Morrison being one of the examples, when we are honest, when we are genuine and honest to the evidence, when we examine that, we cannot help but come to the conclusion that Jesus is a risen Lord. Death cannot capture him. And that is the foundation of a belief. That is the foundation of Christian faith. Without that foundation, the whole Christianity will collapse. And over the centuries, over the years, over all this examination, doubts, attacked, that ancient faith still standing because it is based on historical fact. And that fact is because Jesus bear all our sin on the cross, wash us all clean so that we can partake the banquet, we can enjoy the grace of God with him and in him. But that invitation not only is for all and is ready, but also it requires appropriate preparation for the occasion. Because in that parable, Jesus mentioned that the king walking in that banquet, and he saw something. He saw that someone who joined the banquet. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, How did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. The king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a judgment. Because as a guest, accepting the invitation, now the invitation is grace of God. He prepared everything for us. Here we are not talking about saved by our merit and by our works. No. When we accept that, when we accept the grace, our life need to respond to that grace with the transformation starting from within and express to the without. Wedding banquet, when you go there, appropriate attire is expected. You don't take it lightheartedly. If you take it lightheartedly, you probably never accept the invitation. And the invitation requires us to be prepared. To be prepared to do what? In the context of chapter 21, actually is talking about fruitfulness. Because in chapter 21, you can see verse 28. Chapter 21, verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will. But he did not go. Now, which of the two did his father want? The first, the answer. So it is about our reaction. It's about how we react to God's grace. Some people refuse in the beginning, but later on think about that. Yeah, I got to do that. It's acceptable. But the most unacceptable is that, yes, I will do, but never move. But never move. So it's about fruitfulness. Jesus was rebuking the country of Israel. You receive God's grace, but you never produce fruit for the kingdom. And therefore, the kingdom will be taken from you and given to others. So it requires us to prepare. And this preparation actually is to ask us to live a missional life. Now, what does it mean by missional life? Missional is a new word. It's been coined in the past decade. To me, you can see a lot of definition, but to me, missional life is when we receive God's grace, we've been transformed by that grace, and we want to share that grace with people around us, whether nearby or afar. That is a missional life. That is a missional life. In other words, we recognize that we no longer own our own life, but we belong to another master. And he gave us a mission, which is to bring the gospel to those who have never heard of it and share the good news with them. Paul in Romans chapter 14:8, he said, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I want to share with you two funerals with permission from the family. One funeral I participate, the other I heard of. But these two families are among us. The first one is among us in the EC. There's a funeral that I had the privilege to visit a brother's father at a sick bed, and God gave his father grace that at the last moment he accepted the Lord and agreed to be baptized. When he baptized, I saw the big smile on his face, and I looked at it and I said, this is a miracle. This is a special grace from the Lord. And after 2 weeks, this old gentleman went to be with the Lord. And we are so grateful for the opportunity. And we are so taken by that special grace of God that had over an 80-year-old gentleman. Now, but the family used the funeral, on the one hand, to remember to comfort their loss, to remember the father. But on the other hand, as an opportunity to share the gospel with friends and family that they never heard about the gospel, especially to the father's friend. And they invited me to preach a message, a simple message in that funeral. And particularly in mind is to bring the good news, to share the joy of salvation with the family, with the friends, that they never have an opportunity. God used that. Another funeral that I heard of is a funeral far away, thousands of miles away in China. The family actually is in our Mandarin congregation. A couple of years ago, the parent came to visit the daughter and the son-in-law and the family. The mother heard the good news, received Christ as her personal savior, and went back to China. And then a couple months ago, she was diagnosed with lung cancer. And finally, she was with the Lord. And the family flew back to China. The father was still against Christianity. So they asked the church to pray for them, that when they go back there to hold a funeral, that God will speak to the father's heart. And we all pray for that. And we heard a couple days later that news coming back from China. They said, there is a funeral at home, that all the friends and family and neighbor came. It came more than 100 people. And they found a local pastor to come in and boldly preach the gospel in the funeral. 100 and some people attend the funeral. You know what? 20 of them raised their hand and accept the Lord in the funeral. Have you ever heard a funeral turn into an outreach meeting? Now, this is what Paul said in Romans. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. The invitation requires us to respond. The invitation is God's grace that will give us, prepare for us already. But the invitation also requires us to be prepared. Are we prepared? It is time for us to take a look, to examine our own lives. This parable is a self-assessment. If we live a life that Christ doesn't matter, if we live a life that all our concerns are earthly things, and if we live a life that we never, ever share the good news with people around us, we're running in the danger of the first group of people who have been invited. That we thought we are insider, but actually we are outsider. Some people said, would that idea of judgment contradict with the idea of grace and salvation? The answer is no. If there's no judgment, no condemnation, we don't need grace at all. Grace implies there is a final judgment. Let's bow our head and pray together. Jesus came, lived his life on earth with one mission in mind, is to die for all of us so that our life can be transformed, so that our sins will be forgiven. Many of us are enjoying that grace. But this morning, I think it's appropriate, because the Lord of resurrection is not a Lord that we can take him lightheartedly. We cannot enter the kingdom on our own terms. It has to be on his terms. To receive grace and to respond to the grace. So I want to invite you to pray for yourself. Pray for one thing in your mind. that, Lord, help me. Help me to live a missional life. I don't have to be a missionary to go to far remote countries to learn a new language. Maybe some, but at least I start at home here. That I am seriously taking your grace into my life and want to share that with people around me. And want to share that with those who have never heard of the good news. So Lord, help me this morning to celebrate your Son's resurrection and also to resurrect my life so that I will have the strength, I will have the courage to live missionally.